What's happening, everybody? On today's show, we're getting you set for the playoff games happening this weekend. The Alabama Crimson Tide taking on the Cincinnati Bearcats. We're going to talk with our buddy Luke Robinson, host of Locked On Bama, to get his thoughts on what Alabama has to do to get a victory in advance to yet another national championship game. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Thank you so much for making us your first listen every day. And of course, today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. I am Chris Gordy. Of course, Locked On SEC, you can find just about anywhere you find your podcasts. And of course, we're on YouTube now. Check us out at LockedOnSEC.com. Let's jump right into it. Without further ado, we want to welcome in our very special guest, our buddy Luke Robinson, host of Locked On Bama. Luke, it's been a couple weeks since we talked, man, but how are we feeling kind of optimistically about this game going on this weekend?
First of all, Chris, thanks for having me. Yeah, I think everybody's feeling pretty optimistic. It's it's a 13.5-point spread for a reason. Alabama's a very good squad that's been in the playoffs several times, and Cincinnati's a relative newcomer from the group of five. And so there's no doubt Alabama fans feel optimistic. I am a little bit more on the pessimistic side, or I should say just not quite as optimistic. I think Cincinnati's a really good ball club, and I think that Alabama's dealing with some injuries. So I think this game could be closer than people think.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm looking at betonline.ag, and the latest line has it at Alabama 13.5 point favorite. And, again, I the more and more we start to break it down and analyze it, I start to say, Luke, I look at it as Cincinnati, maybe comes to this game feeling like they got nothing to lose, right? I mean, like, everybody's going to be picking Bama. All the experts will be. Why not empty the kitchen sink, throw everything out there? And, I think back to a couple years ago. Remember that Ohio State game where, they upset Bama in the playoff? I think back to maybe that Oklahoma game where everybody had picked Alabama. Maybe even the Saban era, go back to the Utah game, the bowl game against Utah, where everybody was picking Bama and nobody thought they could be upset. It's just, we've seen it in the Saban era. Sometimes you overlook a team too much, and they sneak up on you, and they maybe not pull off the upset, but hang around way longer than people think.
Yeah, I think those are good points. The two games you mentioned at the end, the Utah game and the Oklahoma game, of course, there was nothing riding on them. So I'm not exactly sure those correlate, but I think the Ohio State game makes the most sense. The one thing I'd say about that is Alabama went up 21-6 in that ball game. And if Alabama goes up 21-6 against Cincinnati, I don't think Cincinnati's going to be able to come back. And let's not forget that that particular Ohio State team had some dudes on it. I mean, they had some receivers that played in the NFL. They had a little running back by the name of Ezekiel Elliott. They had some creatures on that team. And, look, I'm not trying to make excuses because you are right. Alabama could overlook somebody. Shoot, they almost overlooked Auburn in the Iron Bowl. So, it's certainly – they're capable of it. They kind of overlooked Texas A&M. That's why, they lost that game. But I think when you get into the playoff scenario and you've got a leader like Nick Saban who's been in this situation several other times, Alabama's only lost in the semifinals once. That was that first time against an Ohio State team coached by Urban Meyer, who's, arguably a top 10 college coach of all time. And they had NFL guys galore on that squad. So – I think that Nick Saban knows what to do when he gets to the semifinals, and I feel pretty good about it. Again, I'm not trying to say Alabama's just going to roll over Cincinnati, because I think that Cincinnati has one of the best pair of cornerbacks in the country. I think they've got a great quarterback. I love Luke Fickell as a head coach. They also have a running back that started his career at Alabama, and Jerome Ford. He's a burner. He's a home run hitter. And I think he could make some noise in this game. But in the end, I just think Alabama has too much talent.
I want to talk feasibility. We're seeing a lot of bowl games get postponed or canceled and bowl teams having to pull out. I don't think that's going to happen with either the four, any of the four playoff teams, just because so much is on the line, right? So much has to be played for. I can't see, you know, I think these teams are going to take the necessary steps they need to avoid, you know, having COVID breakouts and that sort of thing. I saw yesterday, Alabama, of course, is fully vaccinated, and Nick Saban said yesterday 92% of the team has received the booster shot. So I got to think, I mean, Bama didn't have basically one COVID case all of last season in the 2020 year where everything was running rampant. I got to think Bama's going to control this thing the right way, and they're not going to not play this game because of that, right?
You certainly hope so. Now, Alabama does have two coaches in Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien who are in the COVID protocol right now. And Nick Saban did have to miss the Iron Bowl last year because he had tested positive. Now, he also had a false positive where he thought he was going to have to miss the Georgia game last year. But I think you're absolutely right about the Alabama team being vaccinated and getting the booster. Most of them have. And look, I'm with you on the, hey, look, they're not going to not play this game, or the Georgia-Michigan game for that matter. I mean, there's too much at stake. There's too much money out there. But they did sort of put themselves over a barrel, if you ask me, when it comes to the college football playoff, because they've said, okay, they do have these protocols where if you don't have enough players, then it's just a forfeit. They won't move the game or any and have no flexibility. I think that was really kind of silly because they're using some of the same protocols that they were using a year ago. Well, we've learned more now, and we've got the booster shots now, and I think they should be a little bit more flexible with this thing because nobody, and I mean nobody, wants to win a national championship or to see somebody win a national championship when it comes down to two forfeits in a row. You just don't want that, and I think that that would be really bad for the sport. I think it's better to have a little flexibility right now, but having said all that, I don't think it's going to be an issue with Alabama. That's another thing that I think Alabama actually has an advantage with is, you know, here's Nick Saban, who literally prepares for everything. And case in point is the fact that Doug Marrone, the offensive line coach, and Bill O'Brien, the offensive coordinator, they are out right now under the COVID protocol. Now, they should be back for game time. However, what Nick Saban has done is Joe Pingery, who has remained at the University of Alabama in some capacity. He has coached offensive line in the past. He's helping right now. So I think that this is something Saban planned for. He said, if this happens, then we need to do this. And if this happens, we need to do that. And Saban's just always on top of his game. And meanwhile, Alabama has been to, what, I think this is the eighth playoffs they've been to. So he knows the routine. He knows how to handle it. He's played in a semifinal game in Jerry's World before. Meanwhile, Cincinnati's never done that, and they're trying to navigate these very ambiguous COVID waters. So I think that that could be a bit of a distraction for them, even if they don't have anybody affected with COVID.
Continue our conversation with our buddy Luke Robinson, host of Locked On Bama. Luke, I do want to talk a little X's and O's and strategy in this game. Losing John Metchie in the SEC title game obviously hurts this offense. We know how important he is. Jameson Williams kind of become the 1A. John Metchie was the 1B star of this receiving game. But talk about who, you know, maybe can step up in their absence, in the absence of John Metchie, because we've seen some of these other guys, specifically Ja'Cory Brooks at the end of the Auburn game. He came up big. Ajay Hall, I remember watching him in the spring game, really put on a show and make some fantastic catches. So talk about who you think steps up in the absence of John Metchie in this game.
It's interesting you say Ajay Hall, because this is a guy that's made a name for himself, not in a good way, via social media through the year, where he's had a lot of comments that, you know, could be interpreted like, I'm not happy. And that's not the kind of thing you usually see out of Alabama players, right? Well, people did, just like you, saw him in the spring game, and he played really well then. So I think everybody thought he might be the young receiver that steps his game up. And it just hadn't come to fruition. Well, he might have an opportunity now. Nick Saban actually mentioned him about a week ago in one of his press conferences. Hey, Ajay Hall's playing really well right now in practice. Maybe he'll get an opportunity. That'd be wonderful if he would. I'd love to see him out there. He's a bigger wide receiver. I'm not going to call him a possession guy, but he's not a speed demon. JoJo Earl should be back JoJo Earl should definitely be back, and I think that would be wonderful because this is a guy that can also help in the return game. Ja'Cory Brooks, as you mentioned, the hero of the Auburn game in at least one sense, he's a guy that you got to think he's going to build off that Auburn game a little bit. He didn't make a lot of noise against Georgia, but at the time, he didn't have to because Jameson Williams had already done all the noise making he needed to. So the thing is going to be Jameson Williams is going to be his show. The one guy that I think everybody keeps forgetting about is Jahlil Billingsley. I think Billingsley can be somebody that plays a huge role either in this game or if Alabama should win it in the national championship game. This is a guy with all the potential in the world. He's got an NFL prototypical tight end body, and he just hasn't. It really hadn't all come together for him this year. But I think he's the kind of guy that can have a big game. Look, he had a touchdown against Notre Dame in Jerry's World in the semifinals last year too. So those are some names I'd throw out there.
Yeah, it would be so interesting. Billingsley is like the guy that Saban used to make an example out of so many times throughout the year. It's like, well, he's got to learn to play right. He's going to learn to do it the right way. It would be only befitting that he turns, you know, the bright lights or the lights are brightest and he performs at his highest level would be poetic. How concerned are you with this Cincinnati secondary? Because the more I watched on Ahmad Gardner, like, he's a true, really good cover corner. You know, the other guys in their secondary, Brian Cook, Kobe Bryant, like, they've got some really good guys in that secondary. And I just wonder, you know, we've seen so many times Jameson Williams kill people with that double move. And I wonder if, you know, Cincinnati, if these guys are good enough to take that away. And if they do, what does Bryce Young do in the passing game?
Yeah, whenever you've got a player on your team named Kobe Bryant, it should scare the opposition, I would think, right? No matter what position he plays or what sport he plays. But I think you're right about the double move thing. Everybody remembers that so well against Georgia, the first possession for Alabama in the second half. They score a long touchdown with Jameson Williams using that double move. But I think that everybody's a little bit more aware of it now. I think Cincinnati will be well-versed in his double moves. So I think it'll be something where maybe you hit Jameson Williams on a slant, and he's one of the best slant runners. I mean, boy, when he gets it and he's in full speed, I mean, he's just gone. He had a great play against Georgia for the first touchdown for Alabama in the SEC title game, and he can beat you to the sideline so easily. You're not going to completely shut him out, and I do believe this secondary is very, very good. You're not going to completely shut Jameson Williams out. Here's the thing. He's too good, and Bryce Young is too good. He's too accurate, and he's going to get him the ball. So I think the key is going to be just try and limit those huge plays and don't get behind really quickly. If you're Cincinnati, I mean, this sounds so cliche and such football talk, but if you get down a couple of scores against Alabama, it's usually over. I mean, it's usually going to be very difficult for you to come back. I know that we just talked about Ohio State being able to do it in 2014, but that was a long time ago, and that Ohio State offense had better weapons than this particular Cincinnati team does. So I think that if they can just keep everything in front of them as best they can and sort of have a bend but don't break mantra.
A little bit more on the flip side, Luke, defensively for Alabama. We know how good they've been up front, at least Will Anderson living in backfields, and Fidarian Mathis has been so good. But I look at Desmond Ridder for Cincinnati, and you know, over 3,000 passing yards, 30 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions on the year, and only been sacked 20 times. I mean, if Alabama's going to be successful in this game, I would think, man, it means, you know, at least 2-3 sacks on Ridder, and at least, you know, 1 if not 2 interceptions, right?
Yeah, and I could certainly see that happening. I'm hoping that Jalen Armour-Davis, one of the starting cornerbacks, arguably Alabama's best cornerback all year, is going to be able to play in this game. That's an unknown right now. I thought for all the world he was definitely going to be out, but now it looks like at least there's a chance he may play. Alabama's already going to be missing Josh Jobe. So somebody like a Kool-Aid McKinstry may need to step up, a true freshman back there in the defensive backfield. But Will Anderson is, look, I think he's the best defensive player in the country. I really do respect everybody at Michigan. But having said that, I wouldn't trade Will Anderson for anybody. I think he's Alabama's best pass rusher since Derek Thomas, who's my all-time favorite Alabama player. But I think that, yeah, you're right. You're going to have to see some turnovers and some sacks. And look, Alabama's going to have an opportunity to get some of those sacks. You think about Dallas Turner coming on, a true freshman that has really started playing very well, and he's taken the spot of Drew Sanders, essentially, who's come back from injury, but Dallas Turner's just playing so well. I think that Turner's going to get more of the opportunities. Fedarian Mathis, who some people like, he goes by the name Phil Mathis, but as I always say, I think Fedarian sounds a little bit scarier, so that's what I'm going with. Fedarian Mathis is a great pass rusher as well. LeBron Ray is coming on a little bit. This is a guy that's dealt with injuries his whole career, but he's playing a lot better as well. He played well against Georgia, I thought. So I think that Alabama's going to have an opportunity to get, you know, three or four sacks easily in this game.
Last thing for you, Luke. I saw this on social media, and as soon as I saw this, I kind of shook my head and said, well, this is advantage Alabama. Cincinnati is asking their fans for a blackout. They are asking everybody to wear black. That's a Cincinnati fan coming to the Cotton Bowl. A blackout against Alabama, what on earth could go wrong?
Yeah, what on earth could go wrong? You're absolutely right. That's exactly what I was going to say. Look, the themes don't work really well against Alabama because that doesn't matter. And I think that it does intimidate some other teams occasionally. You know, you talk about Penn State with their pretty famous whiteouts, et cetera. I mean, it can be kind of scary. But, you know, when they usually play Ohio State and they do a whiteout, guess what? Ohio State still wins because they have better players. So their fans can wear black all they want to, but I think that it's not going to be coincidental that at the end of the game it's probably going to look like a bunch of a blackout anyway, because I think a lot of those seats at Jerry's World are black on the backside. So I think that it's going to look the same either way. I don't think the blackout's going to have one thing to do with this game. And if anything, it just sort of irritates Alabama a little bit.
Well, there will certainly be a lot of crimson and white in the stadium, and we will see what happens this week. And you have a prediction for the game, Luke?
You know, I'll go 38-27 Alabama. I know a lot of Alabama fans think I'm being a bit gratuitous giving Cincinnati 27 points, but I think this Cincinnati team has got a little something about them. I think they've got a little chip on their shoulder. I definitely believe Alabama's better. Don't get me wrong. I just have this feeling this game's going to be closer than everybody's thinking. I've been listening to sports talk all morning long, and literally every single host of these various shows have just said, look, we don't even need to talk about the Alabama-Cincinnati game. That's going to be a blowout. And whenever that happens, it always goes the other way, it seems like. So I'm going to predict Cincinnati to cover this just barely.
Let our listeners know what you got up at the podcast, Locked On Bama.
Yeah, check us out, Locked On Bama. Jimmy Stein and I just cut a podcast this morning. We have a ton of fun. Jimmy's the best in the business. He works for On3 Sports now, and he's able to get a lot of information. He also works with QB Country, which gives us a lot of new information all the time about recruiting. We like to focus on that a lot, but, of course, this week we're talking a whole lot about the Cincinnati Bearcats. We're also talking some basketball. Alabama's in the salad days right now of football and basketball, so we're enjoying it.
Yeah, and next coming up next week, I mean, we're going to have some awesome basketball games getting into SEC play and everything else. Cannot wait. Luke, thanks so much for the time as always, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me, Chris.
All right, that's Luke Robinson, host of Locked On Bama. We'll be right back after this. Of course, in the midst of bowl season, it is time for you to head on over to Bet Online. They've got you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season marches on towards the playoff games this weekend, and Bet Online remains your number one spot for all sports action. Head on over to their website. You can do so on your mobile device. Sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. That will get you your 50% welcome bonus from basketball to football to UFC, Vegas casino games. They got it all for you at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Don't wait to take advantage of all their new amazing offers available on their website today. BetOnline.ag. Bet Online, it is where the game starts. Well, along here, Locked On SEC, and appreciate Luke Robinson previewing a little bit of the Cotton Bowl with us, Alabama versus Cincinnati. We'll preview Georgia, Michigan later in the week. But for right now, I wanted to bounce around a little bit. Let's do it. Let's jump around and go around the conference.
Boots out to the right. Intercepted.
Makes the handoff.
Throws. Gets over the ball.
What a catch.
Around the conference.
And continuing on with the playoff games, Luke Fickell and the Cincinnati Bearcats arrived in Dallas on Sunday, met with the media, and Luke Fickell said, look, we have a lot of things we got to overcome with this game against Alabama. He said, everything's important. Guys get hurt. We're going to go out. We're going to practice. We're not going to hit each other. We're not going to touch each other because we don't want a guy to hurt his ankle or knee. So I think we all understand the magnitude of issues from COVID to injuries and all that, and I can promise we're not letting anything stand in our way. That's a great quote taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Meanwhile, Nick Saban, talking with the media, talked about the loss to the Aggies earlier in the year and said, I think one of the most difficult things to do is deal with success. He said, losing that game kind of helped them kind of refocus themselves. He said, I think we've matured as a team. I think we gained a little respect for what it takes to be successful. And I think our players have done a little bit better job of trying to create the right habits so that they can play with consistency and performance. Very well thought out answer. And Nick Saban will look to beat up the Cincinnati Bearcats in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Eve. Now, on the flip side, Georgia and Kirby Smart and his crew, they came on down to Miami getting ready for their Orange Bowl matchup against Michigan. And Dan Lanning met with the media on Monday answering questions about their preparation for the Orange Bowl. Dan Lanning said Georgia's dealing with a, quote, wounded pride ahead of this game on Friday. He described the loss to Alabama as a hiccup. He said, our guys are excited to compete. I mean, every time we take the field, I don't think it matters if it's practice, we're doing team run against each other, or if it's game day. Our guys want to go out there and prove their worth. I think they've done that week in and week out this season. And the fact that we had a hiccup doesn't affect what we want to do going forward. Luckily for us in that game, every single one of our goals still stands in front of us. And obviously now they can still get to the national championship game by beating Michigan here. Of course, the road just becomes a little bit tougher. Lanning went on to explain he's balancing two jobs. He's still serving as Georgia's defensive coordinator and also getting a head start on his job as the new head coach at Oregon. He explained how he's balancing the time. He said, look, I don't clock in and clock out. We work until the work is done. Sometimes that's later than other nights. We've had a couple late nights, but no lack of energy or ability to roll here. I'm excited about the opportunity I have in front of me. He said, I went out one time initially right after getting hired and really excited about what we're putting together out at Oregon. He said, my focus, a good thing, West Coast being 3 hours behind us has given us the opportunity to be really focused on Georgia early in the day. And then later at night, he's taking care of some things against Oregon or for Oregon. So interesting approach there. Meanwhile, Josh Gattis, the latest offensive coordinator to prepare to move the ball against Georgia. He's the Michigan assistant. He spoke with the media. He said, looking at the film, we feel like we know areas that could be attacked against Georgia. He said, we're going to have to do our best to attack those areas. We've got some of the most dynamic playmakers in the entire country. Of course, you remember Gattis is a former Alabama assistant. Very familiar with Kirby Smart and Dan Lanning from their days also coaching with the Crimson Tide. He said it's not exactly a Nick Saban defense and that Kirby Smart and Dan Lanning have put their own stamp on the Georgia defense. Lastly, big man Jordan Davis for the Georgia Bulldogs. He spoke with the media ahead of this game. He said, not too many teams have this opportunity just being here. It's a great experience. This season is all about making history and breaking records, and we're definitely honored to be a part of it. We're just ready to get to it. We're feeling good. We just have to do what got us here. We'll do what we've been doing all season and keep working. So, look, I've kind of talked about that a little bit with Jordan Davis. Like, was the SEC championship game simply a hiccup for Georgia? Like, was it their worst game of the year, and now they're going to bounce back? How do you respond if you're Georgia? And that's where part of me is thinking that they come out and really take care of business against Michigan. And it wouldn't surprise me if Georgia won big. Again, Stetson Bennett, I think we saw some of his warts in the SEC title game, but we also saw him respond and take the team down the field, score touchdowns. Even when they were trailing, they still found ways to put together drives, consistently get down to Alabama's red zone. I think Georgia can respond. So, again, will they? That's the big question. We'll discuss that more as the week rolls along. One other thing I did want to mention, it's a little odd. Tennessee getting ready for their Music Bowl, Music City Bowl appearance. They're practicing on the campus at Vanderbilt, and it was weird to see video and pictures of Josh Heupel and company practicing on Vanderbilt's field, getting ready for that bowl game. But again, great news these last 2 weeks for Vol fans, with Cedric Tillman announcing he's coming back next year, Hendon Hooker announcing he's coming back next year. Going to be really fun to see what they do later this week in their bowl game. And there you have it. That is Around the Conference today. A little bit of an abbreviated version on this holiday week. And I want to thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On SEC and making us your first listen every day. I want to remind you, you can go make your second listen. You can check out the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview 2021. The most comprehensive college football playoff preview is out now with local experts, betting advice, and draft analysis. Or you can go check out the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling, giving you expert picks every day of the week right there on Locked On Bets. I'm Chris Gordy. Thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On SEC. We'll be back tomorrow recapping all the bowl action. Auburn versus Houston in the Birmingham Bowl. Mike Leach, Mississippi State against Texas Tech in the Liberty Bowl. Recap it all on tomorrow's show right here on Locked On SEC. You guys have a great day, everybody.